Hey everybody, I'm Rima.
And I'm Paik.
And this is Strange Indeed, a podcast dedicated to the Netflix show Sweet Tooth.
This week we are covering Season 3, Episode 5, titled The Telltale Heart. T-A-I-L, tell
heart. But it had a nice little tie-in.
It did,
right?
Yeah.
With the beating of the heart that Gus could hear. That will probably come up in our points. But, you know, yeah. I was like, oh, that kind of, and it might, maybe other episodes it has too. And I just, it hasn't clicked for me. But this clicked for me this week. Like, oh, it kind of played in a little bit. And I get where that came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. What'd you think of this week's episode?
It was good. There's a lot that happened in it's like the shortest one of the season, I think, so far, but still, like, yeah. Packed a lot into it. A lot to think about. I'm still kind of processing stuff, and I didn't get to rewatch right before. I've seen it twice, but, like, I didn't get to rewatch right before jumping on here like I usually do with just our scheduling, so I'm, like, still trying to, like, sort through everything in my head. I'm like, man, it's a lot of major stuff that went on, and then it's crazy I didn't think about it until saw somebody post, and it's like, yeah, there's only 3 episodes left after this, and it felt like it was that turning point in the season where we're going to start wrapping things up from here. Like, it's, the snowball effect is built. Like, we've got the big snowball now that everything's about to go haywire.
I agree. A lot happened, and I didn't check the running time, but I remember watching it, and I was like, wait, what?
I think it was 43 minutes, maybe?
Oh, then yeah, it was a lot quicker than some of the other ones. I think they've been running at least 48, if not a little more than that. So yeah, it felt like a very quick episode, and obviously was due to the running time, but just a lot happened. And yeah, I agree. They're definitely just really getting us set up now with these final moments here to wrap it up. Yeah, three more yeah. episodes. That's crazy.
And yet it still raised some major questions that I need answered in those 3 episodes now.
Absolutely. Yeah, same here. Well, let's go ahead and kick it off then with your first point of the night. Where would you like to start?
Okay. I found myself really enjoying this, like, little spot of 4 points. Like, even though we don't do, like, necessarily, like, a specific number, we used to do, like, a top 5. And I had enough for 5, and then I was like, yeah, I'll cut one because it's not that big of a deal. That'll be extra notes. I was like, I found my sweet spot with like 4 major points.
There you go. Nice. That feels good.
And I was like, you know what? That's good. And it's usually just kind of a quick one that I'll start with. I like to do that. Another fight night. With this week's matchup being Becky versus Jordan this week. Who was like, you know, just a few scenes sprinkled in that like, over the runtime of the whole episode really wasn't much, but they, you know, paid some attention to it, and there was some big moments within that. Jordan's just, you know, again, I was like, is he going to be good? Is he going to be bad? And it's like, nope. After, you know, he turned her in and tricked her, manipulated her. And then now here he's just like full villain mode where he's just being a smug prick, and it's like, all right, I'm gonna add you to the list of people I want to see get some comeuppance now. Like, you've put yourself in that side for sure. And I was reminded a little bit of why exactly he was so mad at Becky, because I knew there was something, and then I was like, what exactly was it? And then through them talking when I first watched, I was like, that's right, like, it's an Animal Army thing, because I think it was his dad that was killed by Animal Army, if I remember correctly. And even if Becky herself wasn't directly involved in that it was still, she was like the leader of the Animal Army at some point, and so he just takes it out on her. But man, he was awful in this episode. Yes. Like, just kind of picking at her, prodding at her, even after she like got free, which just the sheer drop onto her back, and then he's just there, you know, picking at her again, like, oh no, come here, why don't you fight, why don't you just doing what he does. But I think the most despicable of it all was the line, and it felt gross even just writing it down, but I got it. But he says, you know, Don't worry, Zhang's not going to kill you. No, when she figures out this whole childbirth thing, she's going to need all the human girls she can get. And, you know, excuse me, I threw up in my mouth a good little bit there. Like, for real. Both times I watched this episode, there was an audible and involuntary hut when he said that line. Like, it was just...
Yeah, I was like, am I watching The Handmaid's Tale now?
Right.
Forced birth, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a visceral reaction as well. So, yeah, that was gross.
Yep. But then, yeah, and I mentioned she got free, and then he's still picking and prodding at her, and then, damn, Wendy, come in and just smack a bitch with a wrench. And yes, I use that phrase, because in this instance, in this situation, scenario, Jordan is most definitely a bitch. But yeah, so it was actually kind of great to see him get that. And then, yeah, it was a short point, but then now we have Becky and Wendy back together, and we'll see how they get into the mix and save the day, get involved. It was kind of strange, but also kind of nice that there was no, you know, wait, why are you here? How did you get here? But more of just like, great, you're here. All right, let's go.
Yeah, I agree that this was also one of my points as well. And I am in line with you there. I really do hope Jordan gets some comeuppance, and maybe Wendy knocking him with that wrench, maybe that was it, because I don't know. If he wakes up from that, he may not be himself.
Right.
If he comes out of that, that was a pretty good hit by Wendy.
Yeah.
I was like, you go, Wendy. It was good to see her in that role, saving her sister. But yeah, I rooted pretty hard for Jordan getting knocked out. He deserved every bit of that. He was so nasty. And I mean, I know he's got feelings because of what happened to his dad, but you know, if you know the fact that Becky wasn't a part of that, and he just, I don't know. I don't know that it would have mattered. He seemed, I think, on a very different path when we first met him anyway, so maybe he was just always going to be that way, and that's just an excuse for him to, you know, take it out on Becky in particular, maybe. But I just feel like he just was always going to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
He was just waiting for someone like Zhang or someone like that to be on the wrong side with.
I don't know. But even like Becky says, you know, that calls him, you know, refers to him, at least in the past, is that what happened to the sweet kid that was skipping rocks on the riverbed, you know? And it's like, well, like you said, maybe that sweet kid really was never there. He was just kind of, because he was, when she found him or they met up, he was on his way to join the first men anyway, or last men. Am I already forgetting? It's like, it's already more, it's just one season passed and they're gone. I'm like, I already forgot what they're called. We've moved on to Zhang.
We're talking about Game of Thrones first men now.
Right.
No, I did too. Like, and they were such a hot topic last season, but yeah, that's what happens when I don't go back and do a refresher on the previous season. Kind of forget some of those things. Yeah, I don't know. But either way, just the nastiness. I didn't feel bad for him at all getting knocked out. And, you know, and then what he was telling Becky about what the plans were, you know, of it's fine, we got to have breeders. So, you know, don't worry. We're not going to off you. That was just, I just had like chills, like, ugh. And it was interesting, too, to see Becky's attitude being a little different. This, I'm kind of straying just a little bit, but it's kind of, since we're on the subject of Becky, wanted to just kind of talk about her interaction with Rosie. So I'll just kind of go into my point since we talked about that part, which for me is a short point too, but it was kind of interesting to see a different side of Becky. She seemed defeated, you know. She was just like, I'm tired of fighting, you know. And that's when Wendy's like, I'm not, whack, you know.
That's great.
It was like she wasn't really, I mean, she was trying to escape, so she is looking for a way out, because obviously she's not in a good place. She's not, you know, going to end up very well with Zhang, and obviously who would want to end up there. and be part of the maternity ranch or whatever.
Right.
The heck
yeah.
It was. It does not sound like an awesome place to be now that we kind of understand, you know, more about. Like, I know that she's trying to bring back human birth, but, you know, I didn't know that, like, forcing, you know, or having people like, well, we need breeders and you're a young, healthy woman, so, you know, we need you to be a part of that. Definitely sounds like, you know, more ominous than what I initially had thought it to be.
Yeah.
If that was her intent anyway. But so it was interesting because, you know, Becky's always, you know, a fighter and she's always like, don't give up. And, you know, so it was interesting to see, you know, where she was a little bit more defeated than what I think I've seen her before. And I don't know if it had to do with her interaction with Bruno, you know, if she's really like feeling some guilt, which understandable. I mean, I that's definitely relatable. I mean, I think I would feel the exact same way. You know, I absolutely feel terrible about what she did, especially knowing as how protective that she has been of hybrids. So I don't know if it's that or if it's something else that's playing into that, but it was just an interesting side of Becky that we saw this week where she kind of didn't have that fight in her. And I'm super curious about her interaction with Rosie because it seemed like she was kind of getting through to her there for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be interesting to see if anything, if she planted some seeds and where that goes with Rosie in the next few episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With Becky there, I guess my thoughts on that as far as her kind of mindset and where she's at, like you were saying, it seems, you know, like, because she did try to escape, but yeah, she wasn't fighting as hard as you would think she would. And I think really what that was, my opinion, maybe, is it's just this, I don't know exactly what word to give it, because it's not like acceptance, because even here, like, she's not going to just like lay over and die. She doesn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's probably thinking of Wendy. It's almost like this, if this is my time, if like this is all I do, if I end up dying, if Zhang or her people kill me here, Wendy is safe. Before Wendy shows up, of course, she thinks that, like, she's gotten them away. She's almost, so I think she's like in this place where she's like, I've done my duty as a sister and as somebody to watch. It was like to the best of my ability. And if because of that I go out, then so be it, because I've done what I wanted to do and needed to do.
That's a good point. Yep, could be that too. Yeah. Yep, just different side of her. Usually she's very defiant, has that fight and that spirit. So it was just different to see that in different attitude of her this week. So maybe that'll be different now that she knows Wendy's there and, you know, that will change.
My sister's far away from you and she'll never be here. So everything's good. Oh, fuck. Never mind, she's here. Okay, well, scratch that.
Back to now she's going to go back into protective sister mode and she's going to have to be a fighter. So at least if not for herself, then at least for her sister.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe Wendy doesn't need as much protection as what she thinks. She had a pretty good swing with that massive wrench. All right. Well, that interaction was my second point, or my first point. What is your next point?
All right. I'm going to talk about Zhang a little bit. Mostly her in the little bar area there at the outpost, but kind of other stuff around that, too, because you mentioned Rosie. You know, Zhang takes Rosie off the case of finding Gus. This whole, like, it was just very kind of jabbing, again, this stab at her. This is like, every time I've given you an assignment, you've screwed it up, basically. And it was just like, so I'm going to, you know, fine, I'll do it myself. And then just to, like, get in that line, it's like, plus, you know, give me an opportunity to spend some quality time with my grandsons. It's like, we know you're full of crap. Like, what's, you know, it's just a jab at Rosie at that point. That's, she knows exactly that's all that is when she says that. Mm-hmm. And so I am kind of with you that maybe some of what Becky said works with Rosie, to where I'm still holding out some kind of hope that Rosie finally snaps and turns on her mother, whether, you know, she goes fully good and has a full redemption arc or not, even if it's in just a small way. I hope Rosie is part of Zhang's downfall.
Same.
But yeah, when Zhang shows up at the outpost here. It was a smart idea from, I think, Odell is the guy's name, who leaves the comm line open so that the group that's up in the other room can hear what Zhang is saying and what's going on. Although they needed to stop looking out that big window. Just sit back out of sight, please. all it would have taken was Zhang just looking up and, oh, there he is, got him. Which also, then I was trying to figure out the layout of the place, and it seems like the room that Gus and them were in was, like, directly connected to the room with the bar in it that they were in. I was like, why didn't anybody even go in there and check? I mean, I'm glad they didn't, but logically, it's like, why weren't they looking through all the different rooms?
Yeah.
Something I thought of on my second watch, I didn't even think of it on the first, but as Zhang is talking about, you know, the blood of the earth, and I'm here to do this, and she's kind of giving her spiel of what her mission and her grand plan is, and playing the clips from, you know, the recording from Dr. Singh, and this whole idea of, I'm going to find the bloody earth because it's the cure to the sick and it's going to bring humans back. And I was like, what if that's exactly the opposite? What if she is barking up the wrong tree? It's like, is the blood of the earth the cure, or is it what caused it? Did the blood of the earth cause the sick, or is it something else entirely that was from the same place? Maybe there's a protector of the blood that created the sick alongside it in order to keep people from taking it and doing what they will with it. you know, what if the blood of the earth is actually the substance that created the hybrids? And so this whole mission that she's on is almost like, maybe she'll bring about the, you know, the opposite, that the cure that she's looking for is actually curing humanity by evolving it into a better adaptable species, returning it to its roots of nature. That's what the hybrids are. So maybe Zhang's not going to find any kind of quote-unquote normal, you know, change through it, but maybe it's the exact opposite. Like, she's going to find the bloody earth and realize, oh no, this only makes hybrids, and it's actually the extinction of the normal human race is what this cure is going to be.
Thank you for bringing that up. Because I was thinking the exact same thing, and Zhang is one of my points as well, so I'm just going to, you know, add to what you're saying here and talk about it.
Yeah.
I can't help but, as I'm watching her, and I keep asking myself, or just wanting to say, how do you know what works or we don't know?
Yeah.
Like, everything that, all the information that we have, even Singh, you know, everything that they have is just all theories. They mm-hmm. don't know how the sick was created or how it started. They're not really sure. And they, all that they know is, like, the sick and hybrids kind of started right there at the same time. When people started mm-hmm. getting sick, hybrid babies started to be born. So there's been a lot of different, I feel like in the three seasons we've watched, you know, a lot of different theories. Well, what came first? Was it the sick or was it the hybrids? Did the hybrids bring the sick? Did the sick bring along the hybrids? Nobody knows. And that's the whole thing. And I'm like, she is like, you know, all the damage that she has done, the people she's killed. She killed that one guy, Walter, which, I mean, sorry, I'm not really sad to see that dude go.
Yeah, I thought he sucked. I don't think he deserved to die, but, like, still kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
But then so it's like, you know, well, Walter died doing what he loved, yelling at strangers that they can't come in.
Yes. But I'm like, all the things that you've done in the name of bringing back human birth, and, you know, because you and your late husband were so adamantly anti-hybrid, I don't know if there's a word for it, mm-hmm. But so against that, like, how much they turned on Rosie, you know, when she had her wolf babies, and not able to accept that, and wanting, what'd she say, a proper grandson,
mm-hmm.
just gross. I'm like, you have grandchildren and you treated them like animals, but I mean, we've talked about that, so I won't go on about that again. But I'm just like, it's just so irritating because she talks with, like, such conviction, like she knows. And I'm like, you're not a doctor, you're not a scientist, you're just some evil asshole warlord, you know,
right.
Flexing your power against all of these people, and you're going off of these, like, theories. Like, she was playing that recording from Dr. Singh, was that from like season two or something, when he was at the zoo and doing experiments and he was learning some information. I think he got some of those videos of like when Birdie and that company that she worked for, whatever, kind of learning about their experiments and stuff. So, I mean, they know they're on like the right track of like going somewhere where, you know, things started, but that doesn't mean you know what that is. Like, you could just, again, this could just be the natural evolution. Maybe this is our extinction level event and this is our next evolution, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. It's just, it irritates the hell out of me. And I'm thinking all of these things that you've done and it's probably for nothing. I don't know how it ends. I've not seen the, you know, next episodes and I have not seen any spoilers, but I feel like she's completely wrong. And like, there's nothing to stop what's happening. Like it's what's happening is what's going to happen and there's no stopping it.
She's way too confident about the stuff that they haven't found yet.
Yeah. Like, you don't know anything about what this is. Like, you have almost no information other than, like, some theories that Dr. Singh was throwing out. And maybe a little bit of other things here and there. I don't know what else she's picked up, you know, over her time in her mission. But it's just so irritating. I'm like, lady, you speak with way too much confidence for someone that doesn't have a freaking clue as to what's going on. No one knows. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I had just a few other random notes related kind of to her in that scene that are more just like little thoughts.
Or
like,
I railroaded you. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Because that was the main thing that I wanted to talk about for sure. And then the other ones are just kind of like little goofy thoughts, observations. Because every time that anybody, but especially Zhang, would say, the dear boy, it would just kind of make me chuckle a little bit. Because I don't think of the animal like she's meaning it. It makes me think everybody's calling Gus a dear boy, D-E-A-R, which also is very true. So, you know.
Dear boy.
I need the dear boy.
Yeah, like D-E-A-R.
Where is that dear boy? Yeah.
I think that too. I don't ever think of dear boy like animal version.
I did notice we've seen them before, but it was really when she was holding up that wanted poster and like showing it around. Maybe it's a different one or just the first time really like clued in on it. The picture drawn of Gus on the wanted posters, like the full body kind of picture that was on this one. It was an interesting depiction because it was like a combination of Christian Convery as Gus and like the original comic book version of Gus, kind of how he looks in the comics. Because the comic is taller and lankier, more like awkward, like a fawn or, you know, young deer would be. Mm-hmm. So he's very tall and lanky for his age. And so, like, that picture kind of depicted him more that way. And his face was a little thinner and more gaunt. And I was like, it looked like Christian, but, like, also in, like, the comic book Gus style. I was like, that's a cool choice, whoever did that.
That is cool. Yeah. I'm sure that was a choice and on purpose. So it's nice that they can kind of incorporate the comic a little into the show that way. That's cool.
And then, of course, Zhang knew exactly who Jep was and seemed to be a big fan of him because somehow she knows everything about everyone except for the people that it's important she knows about at the certain time.
Ugh. She's awful. She is, I mean, you know, as much fun as it is to poke fun at her and make fun of her and just call her, I feel she's just completely clueless because she doesn't. I'm like, you don't know. Like, you don't know that what you're doing is actually going to help her do anything. Mm-hmm. So that's irritating. But, like, she is clearly dangerous. I mean, she just turned on Walter, like, just no hesitation. And I don't know, like, the doomsday strain's taking everyone out, and you're just eliminating people left and right, you know, like she was setting her grandsons out on them, and we know they can be pretty vicious. We know that they killed Theo's father, Ven, wasn't it? So, I mean, like, we really want to be taking out the few humans that are left, you know? I don't know. She seems pretty dumb to me. With some of her choices. Really, really hoping for like a really terrible ending for her. Like, right. I just really want her to go out in the worst way. Yeah. She's so awful.
I said, Rosie has a hand in it. Or like I said, have the the pack, have the wolf boys turn on her and finally be like, okay, that's enough.
You know, I thought about that, and in some ways that would be satisfying, but at the same time, I don't know. It's because I have a hard time. I know that they've been raised as animals and
tortured. Like, you almost want like a redemption or like, you know, happy ending for them, but then
I do.
Are they too far gone? Yeah.
I don't know, but I just feel like either way that killing, like, I know that she's an absolutely terrible person. She has treated those boys absolutely abominably. But I just don't want them to take her out. That's still her grandmother. Mm. And I feel like that's a little too much, I guess, because I don't know. I don't know. That doesn't sit well with me, but I do want her taken out in a really terrible way. I just don't know if I want it to be with those, with the wolf boys. But I do hope for a happy ending for them in some way. If that is possible in the story at all. I don't know. I worry, you know, seeing where we are right now. Are we going to get a happy ending for anyone?
Right.
Well, I was just adding my point about Zhang along with yours. Why don't you go ahead and lead us into your next point?
All right.
We'll just tag team him tonight.
Yeah. It works. Because I'm sure this one is another one of your big ones, too. Dr. Singh.
Oh, my gosh.
And his heel turn this episode. Question mark? I don't know. We'll talk about it. But before that point, Singh was actually kind of... like, annoying, but, like, he was cracking me up. It was, like, because he was so ridiculous. To the point that I was kind of laughing as, like, kind of a comedy bit that he was just having way too good of a time. Just showing everyone his non-shaky pinkies so proudly.
Oh, that was funny. Like,
it was very funny. Like, look at me! I can go anywhere I want! Don't look at me weird! But you can see immediately, like, he's on a different wavelength than everybody else. Like, there's these, like, beautiful reunions and... you know, we have Sienna and Nuka talking with Jep and Gus and telling Gus all about Birdie and his mom and, you know, like, all of these things where, like, it's kind of these, like, nice moments, and then Singh just swoops in and ruins the sweet moment. Like, there's that moment where, like, there's, like, the coffee mug with the deer on it, and Sienna's like, oh, yeah, and your mother with this and that. And, like, they actually had it to where then Singh just came in like, so there's anything in here that's useful? How can we find, you know, and he ruins the moment. The music, because it was like this like nice wistful kind of, and the music just cuts off dead as soon as he walks in, like they like it was almost a record scratch kind of moment where it's just like, oh, and here's Singh to like completely derail any of the good vibes.
He threw cold water all over that nice lovely moment.
And then Nuka knows about the cave, and then he has that moment, he's like, sorry, could you repeat that, little polar bear girl? And I was like, hey, I mean, I was confused a few weeks about what animal she was, but I never thought polar bear. I'm not that dumb.
No, that never entered. I mean, I would love to see a polar bear hybrid, by the way.
Right?
Just side note, polar bears are my favorite, you know, land animal, besides dogs, of course. But I would love to see a polar bear hybrid kid, but I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Have you ever seen a polar bear sing?
Yeah.
But yeah, just like throughout the episode, even before that like turning moment for him, he was just very intense about everything. No, we have to do it this way. We have to do this. We have to do that. And it's just like, even like when Gus and Nuka are trying to take off, and he's like, no, 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 I have to be with him. And it's like, chill out. Like, he's so obsessed with having to be the one to do and find everything. I saw that somebody had written in. I try not to read the feedback in advance too much, but I had just kind of skimmed something, and somebody referred to him as a fanatic. And I was like, honestly, that may be the best word. Like, that's definitely obsessive. And, you know, there's that moment where the little page falls out of the journal, and he goes back and picks it up. And you get, like, Thacker's voiceover as he's reading it, that all was unlocked when I sacrificed the deer. And again, that keeps playing in his head over, like, the fire barrel. And I'm just going, like, no, fuck you, sing. Like, no. I can already imagine what's in your head, and no, don't. Fuck you. Mm-mm. No. Like, don't you dare. Yeah, I'm terrified for what is coming next. However, I'm holding on to this tiny little bit of hope that it's a it's a bait and switch. Like, I'm part of me believes that, yeah, like, Sing is really just a selfish prick turncoat who only cares about being the one that finds the answers at whatever cost. But there's this tiny, teeny, little, small part of me that hopes for the best, where maybe it's a double twist. Maybe it's part of the plan. And then him and, you know, Jep having that argument and yelling at each other was all just to make it look real and convincing for Zhang, and he's still on the right side. I don't know. But also, if he's just trash, I won't be surprised, because his track record's not great. Like, but so there's like a little bit of hope in there, but also by the end of the episode where he's, you know, that quote is playing over and over in his head again with the flames literally just like in his eyes, it's like, yeah, no, I think he's gone. I think that's, we're back to evil Sing. Although I did like that moment, not the sacrifice the tear part, but you know, even if he's a dastardly little shitheel, he did pull off that legend move of throwing the journal in the fire so he can stay alive and useful. She's like, well, why don't I just take the journal and then kill you? And he just drops it in there. And he has, it's the, like, you know, classic it's all up here trick, you know? I'm the only one who knows what to do to get us and get, I'm the only one who knows what to do when Gus gets us to that cave. Which, again, him saying it that way is, again, ominous, and I don't like it, because, you know, back to the journal page, it's like, what do you have to do? Sing, what do you have to do? It's like the Star Wars meme with what? it's just like, and then you're going to help Gus find his mother, right? Right? You're not going to do anything bad, are you? Right?
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
I just don't think I have the tiny little glimmer of hope that you do, because I think he just went full, just thinking of himself. I really don't think he's thinking of Gus. I think he's only interested in, you know, in his obsession. I mean, we saw it in season two, how far he went, like, with this obsession of his. And yeah. I think that it was kind of not sidelined, because he was still on that, like, mission, but, like, being around Gus and Jep, I think that, you know, it allowed him to kind of chill out just a little bit, because they were all going to the same place and they weren't trying to stop him, except for Jep, of course, and their little run-in, and we saw how he got about that. I don't know. I thought about it there for just a minute when they were arguing in front of Zhang and Hermen and everyone else. And I thought, is it a setup? Like, did they plan this? Did they have a little moment where they're like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play it off. And, you know, Sing will try to lead them in a, like, different direction. But I don't think I buy that. I would love for Sing to not be a complete jerk, because, I mean, we talked like episode one or two that I guess it was two, whenever it was revealed that it was Sing following them.
Yeah.
That, like, is this a redemptive arc? You know, I did have hope, but I don't know if I believe it. I would love for it to be true and him for to, you know, for him to not turn out to be a bad guy and for him to not turn against Gus. I was also freaking out when was hearing the all was unlocked when I sacrificed the deer, and he sees that, you know, that drawing, and I'm like, don't you even, like, do not touch a hair on that little boy's head. You know, I will not be okay with that. I don't know. He just... I believed him when he said, you know, I told you from the beginning, you know, that this is what I was going to do. And just because even before Zhang showed up, like you said, he was very much just all about, where do we go from here? You know, how do we find more information? How do we, you know, get to where we need to be now that we're here, like in Alaska, and they're so close? You know, he couldn't even... let Gus have a couple moments. Here's Gus, you know, so close, like, to reuniting, hopefully, anyway. We haven't seen Birdie in quite some time. Mm-hmm. Last we saw her, she was still alive, and so I hope that she still is. But, you know, here he's so much closer to her than what he has been in all these years. The poor kid has been hungry for, you know, just a little bit of information about his mom, stories about his mom, you know, because he didn't learn a whole lot from Pubba because it was such a secret, you know. So everything mm-hmm. that he's heard has been kind of secondhand information. And all he's wanted was to know about his mom and, you know, who she is. And here he's, you know, holding her favorite mug and yeah. just trying to have a moment. And then Singh comes in all, like said, like a fanatic. And it's like, dude, you know, let this kid have a moment. So I just, right. I'm not believing it. If it turns out I'm wrong, I would love to be proven wrong. I would love for Singh to not be that evil mustache twirling, you know, bad guy. But I don't know. He had me pretty convinced.
Yep.
So
and if it turns out that he is just fully bad, then I apologize to Becky for calling her bloodthirsty the other episode. Maybe she was right. They should have taken him out on the beach.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I hope.
I don't know. Maybe to reverse the sick, because what he said, you know, that things happened when the person sacrificed the animal. So I don't know. Maybe to reverse it, we need an animal to sacrifice a human. We got a few, you know, nominees, I think, at this point.
Yeah, there's a couple you could line up for that. I don't know. He's reminding me a little bit of Thacker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how maniacal Thacker was behaving.
Yeah.
You know, in the this episode, in the flashbacks, and then I think in episode one is where we got the flashbacks. So I don't know. I don't know that there's any hope for him. Maybe Singh will end up with the flower through his chest, too. I don't know.
I don't know if that's like a point that you have, but I want to talk about that. I mean, not like a lot, but...
No, mine. I do. It's kind of short, but obviously, yes, Singh was definitely one of my points, too. So just kind of adding to what you said. There was, you know, a couple laughable moments there where he's like showing his pinkies, like, I'm all mm-hmm. good. It's fine. It's all good. We're good. It's fine. But he was just really terrible in this episode. He definitely, I feel like his true colors were, you know, now that they're there and so close to everything, he was getting all just, you could see it in his eyes. So I don't know. But I was pretty mad and scared for Gus when he saw that picture. So, all right, let's talk about your next point.
All right, so that was your other one. So
yep,
which in tandem,
we're just hitting all the keynotes.
Yeah, tonight. Well, I mean, it's kind of, especially with this episode, there wasn't a lot going on other than like the major kind of things. So
makes
sense.
Totally.
Because my last major one. Let's talk about our dear boy Gus, D-E-A-R, in this instance. I mean, just like his whole kind of story through this episode, where as soon as they make landfall in Alaska, like, he's immediately getting these vibes and connections and senses. Like, even before it's like the heartbeat, he's just like kind of zoning out and hearing, like, there's something calling to him and he gets these feelings. And so it's like, yeah, this is where he's supposed to be. Something major with him is going on. Which also, it was just really cool to finally see Gus in Alaska. Like, little dude finally made it. He's been talking about it forever, and now we're here. But yeah, just to see kind of his strength again in this episode. This was another one of those. He was in some harrowing situations and some really sad moments where, you know, you're used to seeing him kind of break down or like really kind of let emotion take over him. And I don't really think he has too much of that in this episode, at least. You know, the very end, he's definitely emotional, but it's like in a different way, where mm-hmm. he's being protective and he's like really, you know, fighting back. But a lot of this, like, you see, like, there's things that should have just like really crushed him, but he just continued to press on. You know, they meet Sianna and Nuka, they get up there and he's sad, but he's staying strong because immediately he's the one that points out, he's like, something happened to Birdie, something's going on. He's like, or else she would be here to greet me. So like,
Right.
Something's going on. And then, like, they can see that, and he's like, no, I'm okay. Like, let's just keep moving forward. I'll figure out what I need to, when I need to. I'm not going to stop. I'm not slowing down at this point. Like, we've made it. Whatever's going on, let's deal with it. We give a lot of love to Christian Convery, but his face acting in this episode, mm-hmm. and it was little things, tiniest little details that I just kind of picked up on that, like, you know, Sienna has it like, she says, Birdie never gave up easy on anything. And Jep goes, runs in the family. And there was just this tiny little, like, second just of this little smile that appears on his face that, like, my heart legitimately just melted away. I was like, oh.
I know. Same.
So good. And then I'm very curious about this connection between him and the caribou man, quote unquote. You know, we still don't have a name or anything officially for him. But, you know, he's hearing his heartbeat across the snow even when they're in the outpost. And then I assume it goes the same way. It's vice versa because, you know, the man shows up to save Gus later on. So I assume maybe he could hear Gus's heartbeat and found him that way. Like, there's this drawing connection between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Out at the caribou trails, out by Junction 18.
It's been right in front of them the right. whole time.
So, oh, it just says caribou right here. Okay, that makes sense. but yeah, and then the other, you know, the only way out is through the vents. So, you know, Gus and Nuke are the only ones that can fit. And Jep tells Gus to go on without him and that it's okay. And we're finally seeing Jep viewing Gus as the capable, mature person that he's become. You know, Jep learned a big lesson, like last episode we talked about it, where he has been, you know, not overprotective, but he's been, Gus is the child that I need to, like, watch over and protect, and realizing, no, he's very capable, and he needs to be, and he knows what he's doing, to where even Jep tells him, like, you're the reason that we've come this far. It's not me. You got us here. And then the way he follows up was like, and this, you got this too. And I'm like, huh. And then they have that, like, lingering, like, tense hug between them before the kids go through the vent. And again, just that face acting as he's, like, hugging onto Jep. I was like, and there goes my heart again, damn it. and then he looks up and he says, this isn't goodbye. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Tears.
I know.
All right.
I don't know why they have to do that to me every episode. Yeah.
Yep, Gus goes out, and I had a couple little thoughts about Nuka. We can talk about her later, but yeah, leads him on the path, but then she takes off back towards the outpost. But then I said, you know, the very ending of the episode where we end with Gus is he got clever girled by the pack, but then in comes Caribou Man with a torch for the rescue. And I will admit, again, we're talking about, like, this, like, sympathy that we have for these, like, wolf boys, that I was a little scared that another one of them was going to get stabbed and killed because he's, like, Wolfman had that, like, spear that he was, like, jabbing at him.
It's like, yeah.
It's like, I don't know why I feel so bad for them, but I do. You know, even though they took, like, they took the man down and would have killed him if it wasn't for Gus to, like, coming in and swinging the fire back at them. And then the two of them together, this just, like, power that they wielded that scared the wolves off and they ran away. And then you just end the episode with them looking at each other's eyes with that heartbeat thumping louder and louder and louder, and it just ends. And I'm like, no, I need,
oh my gosh,
I need more now.
I was like, are you kidding me? Screen goes black. Oh my gosh. If ever there was a time, you know, to keep right. playing. Yeah. I agree with everything that you said, and Christian Convery is he's very talented, obviously, mm-hmm. but he is very talented when it comes to his facial expressions, and
yeah.
without having to say anything, he's able to emote that through his face. You're so spot on. He does that very well. It was really interesting to, you know, as he lands there on Alaska when they come ashore, and he immediately starts to feel something, like, you know, a vibe. It made me wonder, like, does Nuka not feel, or, like, does she feel that at all? You know, or is it because it's Gus and he's special?
Right.
And, like, he was, I don't know that we can call him the first hybrid anymore, but he's, I think, the first of, like, that generation, I guess, of hybrids. I'm not sure. I'm hoping we get like some answers there anyway. But, you know, it made me curious about her. Like, does she ever feel or see or hear anything like that? You know, her being there as a hybrid. But the conversation between Jep and Gus, it was a nice moment, and I was so happy to see Jep, like, finally seeing him, not just as a child, but like as a young man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, giving him the credit that he deserved. And it makes me feel pretty scared for Jep, honestly, because I feel like anytime, you know, when you watch other TV shows and you see a moment like that between two characters, you know, and then when Gus says, "This isn't goodbye," I mean, obviously, I was just like, oh, my heart, you know, same reaction. But I was just like, oh, I don't know. I get bad vibes just because I feel like anytime something like that happens in a TV show, something is going to happen to one of those characters. So, you know, while it was a very heartwarming moment, there was also like a little bit of dread. In that moment, too. But it was lovely. And when the wolf boys hunted him down, I was kind of thinking we were going to see something similar, like at the, was it the research facility, when they saw Peter, the alligator boy? You know, he obviously raised very differently than the wolf boys, but he was kind of feral.
Yeah.
You know, and Gus was able to kind of talk to him and kind of like, hey, you know, I'm like you, and we're all like you, and it's okay. Like, he was able to like connect with him, you know, like hybrid to hybrid. I was really wondering if we were going to see that with Gus and the wolf boys, because I'm like, how is he going to get out of this? He is clearly outnumbered. I mean, this was before this caribou man showed up. But even with the caribou man there, I'm like, I thought I was going to see that moment. I'm kind of surprised that we didn't see that, because I was thinking, and I know, again, raised very differently. Like, there may not be any coming back for these wolf boys. I mean, they've had since they were these tiny little babies, you know, bred a certain way. And there might not be any, what do they call it when you try to, like when someone's been brainwashed and you try to bring them around, there's a word for that. And it's totally escaping me in the moment. But anyway, you know,
I feel like I should know it too.
It's right there with all the like cult shows and things that I watch. I can't quite, it's escaping me. But anyway, I know everyone knows what I'm talking about. But could, you know, it's not something that can happen overnight, but I was hoping that there'd be at least a moment like, hey, you don't want to kill me, you know? And he'd be able to get through to them just long enough to be able to get away or something like that. So I don't know. I was really kind of hoping for a moment like that. So, and I'm really glad that they didn't get hurt, because even though, you know, they are pretty vicious, it's not their fault that they are how they are. And I'm really hoping that they, someone's able to get through to them and kind of bring them back a little bit. But anyway, I don't know. Did you think that maybe Gus would be able to kind of connect with them in some way on a hybrid level?
Yeah, I actually did kind of have that similar thing, because they showed up in that little, like, I don't know, whatever, like there's like the different machinery and stuff, that little area that he was in. And it wasn't like they just like showed up and then like immediately pounced on him, but they were all kind of slowly like looking at him and kind of like taking in the situation. And it almost, I did wonder if it was like, oh, are they like, is there this hybrid to hybrid connection or sense that they're having, where there is going to be that kind of connection where they decide not to attack him because he is a hybrid like them and that he's special and they can sense that or something. I did wonder that. And they didn't really attack him. Like, yeah, the one jumped from the top and like but Gus dove out of the way. So, I mean, we didn't see them attack him directly, but I feel like they probably would have if the caribou man didn't step in. But then they did attack him. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm with you. There was this moment where I was like, maybe Gus can get through to them. Maybe there is this connection here. And then we didn't see it. So, I don't know. Maybe there's still a chance for it. Or, like I said, maybe the Wolf Boys are never meant to be these like redeemed characters as much as like it's sad and they are what they are, but like
right.
That's kind of their fate, unfortunately.
I'm hoping this is my rainbows and unicorns happy ending for them, is that Rosie either gets away from her mother or takes over and like does better, like she's not, you know, in on this weird mission of trying to, you know, bring back human birth or whatever, and is able to like deprogram her boys, and that there is hope.
There's your word for them. Yeah.
Is that what I was looking for? That I could think be so. What I was.
That's the one that was in my mind.
Deprogram so. Them.
Yeah. So.
But it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, years and years of, it's been, what, 10, 11 years or something?
Yeah.
You know, like I mean, that isn't something that is going to happen overnight. But I was really just kind of hoping for that moment that Gus was going to, you know, because I'm like, it would make sense. I mean, we've seen it before, you know, that he's been able to, like, communicate, even like with Peter, who couldn't really speak, you know, or, and he was much more leaning towards the animal side of hybrids versus like yeah. Gus and Wendy, who have a little bit more human features, and they're able yeah. to speak and communicate, and you know, and Gus can read, you know, that
he can read. Stop asking him.
Yeah. So I was really hoping for that kind of moment. And then that would be enough to at least for the, you know, maybe the Wolf Boys be like, wait, what? You know, and at least maybe even confuse them long enough to, you know, for Gus to get away. So yeah. Anyway, maybe that's still to come. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just me adding on to your point. Did you have any other points? You said you had four.
I've got all my major points done. So I've just got random notes left after that.
I think I do too. What is your first note?
We mentioned this one earlier, so I said I do want to talk about this. Is the opening
yeah.
with Thacker, with Captain Thacker. I feel like, is this episode the first time we've heard the term Blood of the Earth? As far as I can remember, I think it is. I don't think we've heard that term, those words before.
It did not ring a bell for me. I was having the mm-hmm. same thought. I was like, did we hear that somewhere before? And if we did, I totally forgot. So yeah. I'm going to say yes, I think so.
Yeah, because I don't recall hearing it before. And then like we hear it the first time from Thacker, and then Zhang is saying it later. But yeah, Thacker says it's like what's in the cave that he needs to bring. He must bring it to the rest of the world. And the rest of his crew like poisons themselves to keep from spreading it back home. They're very much opposed to what he wants to do. So then he sets it on his mind. He's like, well, then fine, I'll do it myself. Like somehow he's going to sail his way back without a crew, without anything. He's like, I'm going to make it happen. I'm getting there some way, somehow. But instead, he has a giant purple flower just go full on xenomorph out of his chest. And yeah, it's
an
like,
alien moment.
And I was like, excuse me? What the hell was that? I'm going to need way more information on that situation, like, pronto, now. We don't have much longer on the show. That's the first time I've seen that happen. What was that?
That was very aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't think we keep seeing those flowers, and they do grow around the people that were sick. We saw that on, I mean, we yeah. probably saw it in other episodes, but like seeing it on the cruise ship, you know, people were in their beds and just had all the flowers growing around them.
Yeah.
But it was still growing in other places. Never have we seen something like that.
Right. It's like, I need more information.
Uh-huh.
It was crazy. So that's really just a random note, just to point that out. Like, I don't know what that was, but I feel like that's important somehow.
It seems important. It's, I don't know if it's because he's like Typhoid Mary there in this situation. Like he's the right. one that brought it back. He's the one that did something in the cave. So that's how it reacted with him or something. I don't know. Yeah, he's like, well, instead of like the Fountain of Youth, you know, we've got Blood of the Earth, which he's, I don't know, is the illness, is the sick like messing with his head or something? Because why, I don't get, like, why he thinks that they need to share this with the world. I'm like, mm-hmm. you're sick. Your crewmen are sick. Like, yeah. And it seems like it starts out anyway, like a really bad, I mean, we know about the pinky, but like, it seems like a really bad flu is like yeah. what we've seen, like most people develop symptoms as, and it just progressively gets worse until they die of it. But it's like, why, this does not seem like something you'd want to go share with the world. If you are sick, what is it that makes him think that this is what they need to share with the world? I don't understand that. And I'm
yeah, like, it's so like maybe... he found something that the rest of his crew didn't even know what it was. Like, he yeah. was like almost like Singh, this kind of fanatic kind of. Yeah, I think you mentioned that earlier. Singh was reminding you of him a little bit.
Yeah,
where he's like, I found this thing. And they're like, what did you find? Ah, we got to take it to the people. It's like, don't you see what's happening to the rest of us? We can't go anywhere. But the thing I found, we got to go. And I don't know if he ever said exactly what it was. So it is. It's almost like he's just this single track minded, like fanatic of his own way, you know? So, yeah, because I don't know.
Or is like this, because there was a bottle or something labeled that we saw that said yeah. blood of the earth. I mean, is that what caused the sick, or is that what was like even better than this fountain of youth that mm-hmm. they were on a mission for?
From what I understand, it was like what, like some kind of cure to all sickness.
But and they did then, something that.
But how he knows that that's what that is and it works? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We're lacking a lot of information, yeah. obviously, so hopefully we get this in the next three episodes. I guess maybe I'm supposed to be this confused at this point, and maybe we'll get some resolution, because I'm like, what is it that you're trying to share? Because if, like, you're sick, or maybe, you know, the that stuff in the bottle is not what's good, but to get to it, it makes you sick or something. I don't know. I don't mm-hmm. know. But I'm like, obviously you don't, like, you got sick. It seems to be very contagious. You've now made all of your men sick. You're going to go spread this. That's, you can't do that. Yeah, he was just, so I don't know. I don't know if it was just the illness making him that way, but, yeah, I definitely saw some similarities there between him and the way Singh had been acting before. Yeah, that thing out of his chest was wild. I was like, I kind of, not scared, jumped, but kind of was like, what? You know, just kind of popped back in my seat whenever I was watching. I was like, what was that? Oh my gosh. And then it just pops out in that purple flower. I was like, okay. I don't think we've seen that before. That was interesting. Any other notes?
Yeah, just a few little things. I may have talked about a few. A few like things about Nuka, like I said. One, I was just like, Nuka's eyes. That's the note. just the ocean blue piercing eyes. They're beautiful. That's all. I just think those are really cool.
She's an adorable little girl.
I like Nuka. I really do. I will say. And then I was like, it was like a, like, not really complaint, but like a negative that then I like circled back around and turned into a positive again, because I would say like her delivery was a little much this episode. Like, she was like extra sassy and like a little over the top, the acting a little bit, and I was like, oh, she's just like really eating up, chewing on the scenery, you know, like just like. But then I thought about it more and I was like, as much as like, you know, I work with kids and deal with kids, I was like, if I was to explain her behavior in this episode in show, quote unquote, It's actually pretty typical of kids to act extra like that when they're around new people that they want to like them or that they're trying to impress. And so I'm just like, maybe that's it. It's like, you know, Gus is the first kid she's seen in forever. And then, you know, these new people that are here, and she's just like really excitable. And she's like, new friends, let me make the best first impression. And a lot of kids kind of go overboard with that first impression sometimes. They're like, look at all the things I know and can do and can say and look. And so I was like, you know what? I could see that she would be just very like, oh, I've got to like make everybody like me, and I've got to be super active and talkative and friendly.
That's a really good point. I agree. I think that's probably what was causing some of that little extraness, mm-hmm. as you put it.
Yeah.
'Cause yeah, she's probably like, new friends, I want them to like me, you know. Yeah. So she goes that route where, you know, some kids go a different way. But that had to be really interesting for her to meet another little hybrid kid.
Yeah.
Because she's like the only kid. I didn't see any other kids up there on the outpoint and, or their outpost, what was I saying? Outpoint. Outpost. Much less, you know, a hybrid kid. So that must be pretty exciting for her. So she must just be really excitable.
Yeah.
In that moment and excited to be like, not only have I got another little kid to hang out with, but it's a hybrid kid, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, thinking of like back when Gus met other hybrid kids, you know, he was certainly like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know.
She's a cutie.
Yeah, Nuka was great this episode. I mean, it was her idea to use the vents. She's the one that, I mean, she was a hero in this for sure. She got Gus to the pipeline and then tells him to go on. And I like that. Like, she goes, just go find your mom. I'm going to go back for mine, which was great. And then clever little fox hiding in the snow, buried, which again, like the Arctic fox in her, like, you know, hiding from a predator, like covering up in snow kind of thing. Like this, like, you see that in the Arctic and stuff. So I was like, that's really clever. I like that.
It's adorable.
And then let's see if I had any other notes. I had like the Walter stuff, but yeah, I mentioned that one. Sianna with the smoke alarm save, which was kind of just a cool shot with just like the red light with like the flare right there. And then yeah, Polar Night, I guess, has officially started. Nuka says it starts tonight, and so they've gotten into that. So no more daylight, maybe for the rest of the season, rest of the series. So this season's been very emotionally dark, so now it's just going to get physically and literally dark as well.
Did you watch this latest season of True Detective? I don't know if you watched that show at all. I don't think it's a spoiler to say that the season took place in Alaska this year with that latest season, and they also had that. Again, I don't think that's too spoilerish to say that, because I think most people know when you're that far up close to like the Arctic Circle, like you just live in the night. But yeah, they kind of dealt with that too. So I was just like, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. I don't think I would deal with that very well. Mm-mm. But, yeah, they gotta get moving, because what, they only had like another day left or less than a day.
Yeah.
That's scary to think of. Yeah, everything's got to happen. I can't believe it's only 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Left. Yeah, we got to wrap this up. We got to get Zhang her terrible ending.
Yes.
We got to do it in 3 episodes. That is awesome. Well, let's see what our listeners had to say. I think we always get some really great feedback. So yeah. Let's kick it off this week and see what they have to say.
All right. First one comes from Maureen Favo, who says, how great is Jep? Everything he says to Gus is perfect. I've mentioned before and will again, Sing is a fanatic. There it is. That's the one I was thinking. Thanks, Maureen. And now, because of the Thatcher Journal, he thinks he has to kill Gus in front of the cave. Ah, save us from fanatics. Wendy, the hero, looking forward to reuniting with Gus and Jep. Gus is going to find Birdie. So great. In a weird way, this episode is a little more uplifting than the last few. I don't think Caribou Man is in good shape, and the Pack did a job on him. How long do you think a Sing and Zhang partnership will last? Even with how stressful this season is, I'm bummed only 3 episodes left.
I don't know the answer to that question, how long their partnership will last. If Sing stays on that path, as a bad guy, well, then I hope he goes out along with Zhang. So I'll say that. All right. Emily Rouse says, I didn't even realize Sweet Tooth was back until TV Time alerted me. I'm finally caught up now. I have to say the first half of the season has been a little slow for me, but I am interested to find out more about the Caribou Man and the Blood of the Earth, and eagerly awaiting a Birdie-Gus reunion. I guess Wendy and Becky got a free trip to Alaska anyway. Also, do you think Sing is just a villain now, or is he playing Zhang just to get to the cave? Thanks for the coverage, and hopefully you can find another show to cover after this wraps up. No Mike Flanagan show this year is such a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I know! It's a bummer. I don't know. I think we've talked a little bit about Zhang and Sing, and, you know, I don't know. I know how I feel anyway in this episode, so I don't know. I don't have any good thoughts.
Yeah, just have to see how it plays out.
And we got a late email from Daphne. Daphne says, "Hi, Rima and Paik. I don't know how on earth Rosie would be able to trust her mother to take her sons out. Everyone is so cruel to them, especially her. These poor pups. It makes me appreciate the love that Gus and Wendy had from Pubba and Amy growing up so much more." Oh, good point. "Jep sending Gus off for one last adventure to the cave seemed like a rite of passage, and I'm hoping this isn't the last time they see each other. Gus coming face to face with the true first hybrid was incredible. I do admit, though, that while Gus and Caribou Man were fighting Rosie's kids, I was hoping they would make it out okay. I want a better life for them. Sing is an enigma. Him reading 'All was unlocked when I sacrificed the deer' makes me wonder if he thinks he'll have to sacrifice Gus at the cave. No. Please. I will admit that him burning the journal so Zhang had to keep him around was brilliant. Wendy rescuing Becky was perfect. Death to Zhang. Soon, I hope." Daphne.
Well, she just, like, yeah, reiterated a lot of our thoughts and wishes as well.
Yep.
Feel sane.
Feel like always on the same wavelength as Daphne, that's for sure. Thank you, Daphne, for that late edition. Got it in just in time. All right. Well, thank you again, everyone, for the feedback. We only have 3 more episodes to go. So if you are watching either week to week, or if you have already watched all of it and want to just give your feedback on our last episode, that's okay, too. We always want to hear from you.
Yes.
In the meantime, next week, we're going to be covering season 3, episode 6, Here There Be Monsters.
It's
the name of the title.
Ominous.
Is ominous. Yeah. I don't know what to think.
Ooh, I can't wait to watch it. Maybe tonight. If I got time, I think I'm going to have to just, like, jump in on it.
After the ending of this episode, ooh, I'm definitely going to have to jump on this one pretty quick. I don't just... You know, we're always in this predicament watching these shows week to week and knowing that we can't move on. I'm always pretty anxious to get to the next one pretty fast. Yeah. So I know I'm going to be watching this one as quickly as possible.
Yes, need that. So yeah, thanks for those who sent in feedback. Like Rima said, we were recording a little earlier than usual. If you didn't get it in time, again, send it for next week and we'll read and play any other extra episode 5 feedback, even with our episode 6 coverage. Do that, just, you know, go to podcastica.com. You can find all of the links, all of the places to reach out to us.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows, like Run for Your Lives.
Yeah, which, yep, we are back with Run for Your Lives. We had our Independence Day 4th of July special with Resurgence with Ben last week. And then this week, we are officially back for the new season, starting off with 28 Weeks Later.
Yay! That's a good one.
Yeah. We're getting excited for Years that's coming up. I think next year is supposed to be.
I can't
wait.
So it's like, yeah. Woo. Yeah, long anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Make sure you go check out, yeah, that and plus all the other stuff the podcast has got going on right now with... Let It Rip, the Bear podcast, and then Dragon Cast with House of the Dragons. It's been going really great. Walking Dead rewatch over on the Cast of Us, which they're doing something a little special. I think this next week they're recording this week, where the Welcome to the Apocalypse kind of improv comedy podcast that's here on Podcastica, which I don't know if we talked about it too much on here. It's great. Check it out. They just an improv comedy thing, a group surviving the apocalypse together. It's with Randy and Jenny and Rob, and they're doing an incredible job over there. It's funny, but they're kind of doing a little crossover where the improv characters they've been playing on Welcome to the Apocalypse are going to be re-watching the pilot episode of The Walking Dead and reviewing and covering that. So that should be really fun. So definitely check that out. All of those shows plus so much more that Podcastica is doing, you can check them all out over there on podcastica.com. Give them likes, reviews, subscribes, follows, whatever you can do anywhere you can. We love it, especially here on Strange Indeed. Helps us a lot. So we always appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks in advance. Mm-hmm.
But all right, that is our show this week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Until next time, I'm Rima.
And I'm Peg.
And Don Goodrum is strange indeed.